Damn it, Jowson! You interrupted a good masturbation session. Now give me a damn beat to start the show so I can finish.
Hi everyone, welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. My name is Portia and I'm from Aberdeen, Scotland. Please be advised that content of this show is for a mature audience 18 years and older due to language and subject matter. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Jowson.
Well, I guess Katie Mae takes her masturbation seriously. But anyways, appreciate it, dear. Now, Portia, thank you as well. Look, folks, we're going to talk about a delicate subject today. A subject that most people don't talk about. Especially people that are dealing with relationships and dating. We're going to talk about masturbation. Now, the thing is, some people consider it a selfish act. Some people are intimidated by it. Some people hate it. Some people look at it from the standpoint of, you don't love me because why do you have to do this to yourself when I'm here? We're going to address all of those things. But we're going to focus more on female masturbation. Because, as you know, 70% of men masturbate. According to Statista and other statistics I've looked up on the web. So ladies, you know good and well, you go, you visit the guy, you go to his house for the first time, you start seeing some socks that are stuck together, you don't want to ask any questions, his keyboard is sticky, you know what's going on. All you gotta do is get a black light and go through his apartment, and you'll probably see all kind of evidence. Look like a crime scene in there. Well, they, you know, they do the same thing at some of the hotels here in Vegas. They have some critics that go on to TikTok. And they go into these hotel rooms. They rent the rooms and then they go in with a black light. Oh, let me tell you, there's some horrific shit that shows up on those damn comforters and downs and different things, man. I tell you, and duvets, oh my goodness. But anyway, what we're going to talk about is how it can be used and incorporated in a healthy way in a relationship and to thwart this stereotype and a demonization of it. And some men, of course, become intimidated by it. And they feel as though what she's doing to pleasure herself is to replace him instead of enhancing the experience for her. Because there is a gap. Some of you guys have written in and you guys just spaz the fuck out when a woman is pleasuring herself while you also pleasuring her, and you feel as though, well, she doesn't need me, let me just go get my shit and leave. You'll see what I mean after this particular message that was left. Now, one thing, if you want to leave a message on the show, anchor.fm/romantictruth/message, or you can send us an email, romantictruthpodcast@gmail.com. Be back in a moment.
You have new mail.
I'm curious, why are men so intimidated when a woman pulls out a toy during sex? My boyfriend of 2 weeks actually got upset when I pulled out my dildo as I was giving him oral sex. True enough, he might have taken issue because it was black and about 10 inches long. However, he should not have been intimidated because it's only a man-made object. It is not a real man. He left me there hanging, got in his car, and went home. Well, a girl had to finish the job on her own, I guess.
Oh, God.
Women masturbate with their partners due to various reasons. It can allow increased pleasure and stimulation for the woman and make her more aroused and enhance the sexual experience. It may also be used as a tool for communication and better understanding between she and her partner when it comes down to what actually stimulates her and what actually triggers her to orgasm. It also may be a common practice or an essential function that's needed for her to reach an orgasm due to the fact that she might have been using this practice for an extended period of time while she was not with a partner. Women can control the experience in which they feel during sexual intercourse and therefore may not feel so vulnerable in the sense that they are achieving an objective with their partner. Some women may find this practice embarrassing to display in front of a partner in that they may be judged or viewed as being desperate. Also, not all women may engage in this practice whether it's through digital masturbation or through a dildo or vibrator. Send me choose to have their partner through the stimulation as they enjoy the experience. It is also common for them to do the same with their partner before penetration. Many times women will do this to stimulate themselves while undergoing foreplay so they will be well with lubricated and aroused, which in turn makes it easier for her to orgasm near or around the same time her partner may do so. The results may vary on the individual. No two women are the same, and therefore women may be stimulated differently based on their erogenous zones.
Well, there you go. In the case of the lady that left the message, ma'am, what you've experienced is something very typical. Some of you women have written in over the years about this particular phenomenon. Now, two things you have to realize that probably intimidated your partner. One was the color. Believe it or not, some people associate the color of a sex toy with your preference. They had a thread on Quora about this in particular. Is that any indication of her preference for a man? Gentleman asked this question because he's white, his wife's white, but wife has a black dildo. And he thought that in some ways that she had some other desires than to be with him. Well, there is no statistics on the number of women and their race as far as buying certain colors of sexual toys. I'm sure there are by some of the manufacturers, but of course, they're not going to leak out that information because it would definitely give the competition an edge. But one thing that we do know, usually when they are of a color or a hue associated with stereotypes, they may be larger. Now, the same size may be in all colors. Now, ma'am, let's be honest here. He said this thing is 10 inches long. The average vagina, even when fully aroused, goes to about maybe 7 inches. I'm sure it can stretch even further in some cases. You may be a deep woman, who knows? But the majority of women are going to have more sticking out of them than inside of them. Now, I understand you have to for your grip and everything in order to get the right angle. So they do have those extra inches. But see, those extra inches are actually for you to handle the device. It's not made for penetration. That's the reason why so much of it hangs out of you. If you notice, when you have a sex with a guy, pretty much he goes all the way in. In some cases, he may not, because you're not maybe that flexible down there. It depends on the person. Now, of course, we talk about negative stereotypes, but we don't look at large black and brown penises, or I shouldn't say penises, but dildos, as associated with a stereotype, do we? Because the assumption is it's a compliment. Black men have big dicks, Asians are smart. These are all backhanded compliments. Now, the other thing we have to realize too is this. Some women want to live out that fantasy, and they would like to be with someone of a different race or ethnicity or background, but they would only want to be with them for that sexual purpose and not a relationship, not marriage or anything like that. And this is, in some way, could be a way of expressing that desire. Now, it could be that they only had black in that length only, and they were out of order for the beige ones, the white ones, or whatever. Who knows? But in any case, you made a choice, and you was pleasuring yourself, you were satisfying yourself. Now, here's the thing that you have to realize, fellas. There's some women who have been alone so long and have been masturbating so long because they're not going out there getting into relationships quickly. They do have tension and urges, and they relieve those urges in that manner, just like men do. The only difference is they usually can go longer without relationships. Now, with us, it's a little bit different. We see a woman that's attractive, dick gets hard, then we might try to make a move on her. We might try to talk to her, get her phone number, see where things can go. She could be sopping wet, but she could take her time because, see, many women that realize that they are in control of the situation, he's not going to be in my life unless I allow him to. I'm not going on a date with him unless I allow him to. I'm not going to let him get next to me unless I allow him to. And she could take her time with it. Now, I looked at one stat. Around 65% of women masturbate. And they had it broken down on a regular basis and so forth. But on average, most women masturbate twice a week. There's some, a small percentage, I think something like 18%, that do it every day. There are others, on average, about twice a week. They have another group that's once a month. They have another group that's only once a year. And that number is very small. It's like, I think, 7.5%. But usually, twice a week is usually the norm. Now, some people feel defeated by doing this because they feel as though I'm desperate, I can't get anyone, because we associate being alone sometimes, being by ourselves, as being a negative thing, when actually it's not. But see, a person who's desiring a relationship may look at it as them being a failure because I'm fucking myself. And this is the way they look at it. But they fail to look at it on the flip side. They may be saving themselves from a bad relationship by being preoccupied and taking their time looking for the right partner. And so, in this sense, they get a chance to know their bodies better. And therefore, fellas, a woman can guide you through foreplay much easier if she's in tune to what actually arouses her. And what that means then is that you don't have to do half the work that you think you do. Because a lot of you guys get up there and you start backfucking. And of course, backfucking is what most women hate. That is when you're just using your back and you're just thrusting. And you're just hitting her cervix. You're just slamming her cervix. She's not getting any pleasure out of that. She's getting pain. Now, there's some women that have a high pain tolerance that likes that. But most women want to be made love to. They don't want to be fucked. That's the distinction. So, a woman prefers a man that can rotate his hips, because what she wants to have happen is for the cervix to be stimulated. And see, as it is stimulated, the opening opens and closes, receptive for the sperm. Now, you, as a man, have to make sure you're wearing a condom unless you want to have a kid. And another thing I would tell you, I know she's on birth control, I know she's probably got an IUD or whatever. If you don't want to have a child, wear a condom to be safe. And not only that, when it comes down to STDs, I was looking at the stats recently from the CDC. African Americans and Latinos have a very high syphilis rate that's increasing because they're not using protection. And we get very sensitive when we point out things like that that may sound embarrassing. You'd rather have the information and correct the behavior than to not have it at all and let it continue and get worse. I'm just saying in general. Because if a case of syphilis is neglected, it could affect some of your internal organs, and it can eventually get to your brain. So you want to keep a tab on that for your own welfare. Now, this is how, fellas, a lot of women may go so long without thinking about a relationship, because we don't associate women with masturbation as much, because we have an image associated with them based on the burden that we've given them in society to be the moral consciousness of our humanity. They rear our children. They're supposed to be nurturers. They're supposed to be the people that are doing the right thing while we engage in debauchery and all the other foolishness. See, that's one thing that men did with women. They gave them the moral responsibility to remain a certain way. And as men, we kind of got a break on that. You're held to a higher standard, ladies, than we are. Now, of course, some of you ladies are embarrassed by engaging in this practice because you hide your toys when your man comes over, when you first start dating, and when you get into a relationship, because you don't want to make him feel bad. You don't want to make him thinking that he may be inadequate when you first start having sex. And some of you run into that juncture, that problem of trying to introduce something that you really like to him, where he won't be intimidated or offended or put off or turned off. And it can be very difficult for some of you, just like it was with the lady, because he was intimidated. Now, some men are intimidated with anything bigger than they are. And the reason for that is because, see, as men, some of us are brought up where we're supposed to be in control of everything. We're supposed to know everything. We're supposed to be able to do anything. We're supposed to be invincible. And it's a lot of hype that men are given in order to go into society. But the problem is when he can't measure up to the hype, that poses the problem. And this is where many of the sensitivities of you ladies comes in. Because what you do, take us to the guy that didn't satisfy you because his dick was too small. You probably wouldn't tell him that if you really cared about him and loved him. You'll probably lie to him. Or you'll probably say that you're satisfied, even though you're not. And then you might go to the bathroom and finish yourself off. But you don't want to hurt his feelings. I see, fellas, this is one place where women will lie to you, is to protect your feelings. When they care about you, they will do that. When they don't give a damn about you, they're going to say, oh, you have a little dick and you need to get the fuck out of here. Because she doesn't want you to feel inadequate. That's the reason why she's doing that. As I told you before, in any relationship, men and women fear the word inadequacy because of the fact that it means you haven't done something to its fullest extent, or you half-assed did something, or you weren't good at what you did. Because what is closely behind that? Judgment. People don't like to be judged, especially in a negative way. Now, fellas, women are helping you by doing this. They're showing you what stimulates them. So if they pull out a toy or something like that, it's not to replace you. Is to enhance the experience for her. See, the thing is, the more she is actually aroused and enhanced, the better it is for you, because she's going to give what she's feeling to you even more intensely. So you're going in there and you're penetrating her, but she may have an erogenous zone over her clitoris, and you're just going in and out and it's not quite doing it. And then you see her take her index finger and she's rubbing her clitoris while that's going on. And you don't understand. You're thinking that, oh, well, you know, hell, I must not be good enough because I'm supposed to stick my penis in there and it's supposed to be, Valhalla moment. But you have to remember, women have different erogenous zones that may have to be firing simultaneously. So she may have one index finger over her clitoris, the other one pinching her nipple, while you're having sex. This is the way she can intensify what she's feeling. She's enhancing the probability of that orgasm. Now, here's the thing. When a woman may start masturbating and that kind of thing in front of you, when you guys are becoming intimate, what she's doing is she's usually, not always, inviting you in for consensual foreplay. Now, there are exceptions. I knew of a woman one time that her husband had cheated on her. And I knew it before they got married. And she told me, she said, well, I punished him. And so I'm thinking, oh, what'd you do, cut him off? But that's what a lot of women will do. Big mistake, two ladies, by doing that. But she did. Now, if it's because he has a disease or something like that, I could understand. If he's got an STD or something, that makes sense. But emotionally, depends on how long you do it, it will dictate. And some men are going to say, okay, since the door is closed, let me go and open another door with another woman. And once that happens, things cascade. And you see a lot of relationships end intimately because of that. She's no longer going to sleep with him because now he's sleeping with other women, even though he cheated before, and she hit him on dick restriction. I mean, not dick restriction, but, you know, he couldn't get any. Women get put on dick restriction, where he couldn't get any sex from her. So, therefore, she goes on and she doesn't sleep with him anymore. And she doesn't care what he does out there in the street, as long as he doesn't bring it home. When you get to that point, ladies, if you have a friendship, that's the only thing that's going to keep that marriage alive. Because the trust is dead, the integrity is gone, the respect is gone. You got a half-assed friendship, if you're lucky, that you're dealing with. Well, you guys can dissolve it down to roommate status, if that. Now, the thing is that when a woman invites you into that situation, like my friend that had played a role with her husband that night because he had cheated on her, she said, oh, no, this is not for you, this is for me. He sat there in the bed with her, and she said, I made it a point to take my time and please myself in front of him as he watched. And every time he tried to interact with her, she'd smack his hand. It was her turn. And after she finished, she said, I just went, put it away, rolled over and went to sleep. She was done. And eventually they got divorced because they had other problems. But what I'm getting at is, a lot of times, the woman is giving you the invite, consensual sex only I'm talking about, the invite to say, hey, this is what does it for me. And whatever is done for me, I'm going to share it with you for sure. Which means that when you guys do get to that moment of penetration, she's already there mentally, emotionally. She's already there just waiting for you, so that if she's really into you, she's going to talk to you and she's going to say, okay, just slow down a little bit. We're going to do this together. We're going to make sure that we're going to share this moment together. When a woman does that, fellas, she's into you in a way that she's taking her time. She's guided you to what will get her to that point, and she wants to share that with you. And what she's sharing with you is every vulnerability she has at that moment. You know what it's going to take to get her to that point. She's got everything riding on the trust in you at that point. Oh, and another thing too, she'd be very receptive when it comes down to, you know, if you ejaculate without wearing a condom, she might get pregnant. Don't be surprised. because at that point she's stimulated in such a way that the cervix is just pulsing. And one of them little bastards coming from your nutsack is going to make it in there. It's going to beat everybody out to that age, just like all of us who are alive today did. Because I know some of y'all fucked some of them other sperms up to get to that age. Clotheslining. Up there spear tackling and shit. It's like you in the NFL in the 1969, just hitting people. Getting them out of the way. But the thing is that overall, she wants a pleasurable experience. And she wants you to enjoy it. Now, here is the thing that she wants to do. And this is what women, many of the women that I've been with, told me. They want to share that experience and that moment with you where both of you experience the same thing at the same time. Because it makes them feel closer to you. And then what will happen, fellas, after you know her erogenous zones, you don't even have to talk to her and she knows yours. When she's ready, she knows what to do with you. You know what to do with her. And sometimes she'll warn you, especially if you guys haven't had sex in a while and you guys have been busy with your careers and everything. And then she'll say, you better stop, because if I start, I'm going to tear your ass up. She means it, because she's got a lot of pent-up energy. And she already knows. You know what to trigger her for that mood. And she knows what's to trigger you. Now, the good thing about it is this. After you guys are in tune with each other, what will eventually happen? You have it so well rehearsed that it will get to a point where even if you were with someone else, it wouldn't feel right initially because of the fact that, damn, you're so accustomed to this and that. And also keep in mind that all women are wired differently. There are some women who cannot orgasm vaginally, some anally, others in different ways. It all depends on the woman. Everybody's wired different with a different nervous system. So, it depends. Now, here's the other thing too. Some of you have written in about the vibrators, the size of them, especially you guys. Don't let size intimidate you. Only so much of that can go inside of her. That's even with a guy with a big dick. You hear these women talking about, you know, they want a guy with a 14-inch dick and all that. The majority of it's going to be hanging outside of her. But see, the thing is, she wants to see it. It's more of a visual thing than anything else. Now, the other thing, too, is this. As I told you before, when a woman really has a deep orgasm, I mean that deep one, that one where a lump is in her throat, her eyes go back in her head, and the only thing you see are the white of her eyes. And she's grabbing her breasts and probably shooting out milk, who knows? Probably growing fangs. If she has that kind of orgasm, it's over for you, fella. You're damn near going to be her husband if not. Because at that point, she's going to glue herself to you. Now, what some women will do initially, they'll be in a missionary position and let you do your thing. Now, the reason why many of the girls want to go cowgirl on you is because at that point, every inch of you, they can feel. But they're sitting on you. You get the full visual picture of them facing you. And in this regard, they could take their time. Because now, they're the ones who are going to be gyrating the hips. They're the ones who's going to get that spot where it feels good to them. And they're going to take their time with it. Now, she's going to be exhausted when she goes. And of course, some of you have talked about size. For some women, size does matter. For others, it doesn't. Most women that are really into you, they'll make it work some kind of way. That woman that's not, oh, you're going to be filled with complaints. And let me tell you something else, fellas. If you get her to a point where you hound her for sex, and she's not really ready or not into you yet, and then she goes on and does it with you, 9 times out of 10, she's not putting forth the best effort, and she doesn't care, and probably won't be with you again after that. Because some of you have written in about women that slept with you one time and you thought that the relationship was going on, and then all of a sudden she left. It was because you pushed too soon and too hard when she wasn't really ready. See, when a woman is ready, she's going to slow down for you. It's going to be just like you were in a horror movie and she tripped over a twig, grabbing her ankle while the monster is coming after her. She'll wait until the monster gets like a foot away from her, and then she'll try to get up. But if she's not into you, she's hauling ass and ain't tripping over no twigs or anything in the movie. She gets away. So, women do these kind of things. Now, the other thing too, watch what you say in the bedroom with your woman. If you have been with someone for a long time, and now you're starting to date again or be with someone and you're now intimate with her, ladies, this goes for you too. Rehearse saying the person's name. No one likes to hear somebody else's name while they're having sex. Oh, Johnny, who the fuck is Johnny? And fellas, you know good and well, you say another woman's name while you're having sex with the woman stop at mid-stroke. Put a hand on your chest. Wait a minute. Get the fuck up. Now, it's gone from a sexual experience to a damn Senate subcommittee meeting. Who the hell is Judy? Oh, shit. My bad. She's a co-worker of mine. Oh, so you ain't your co-worker. At this point, she's getting up and getting dressed. She's putting on her shit. And she's looking at you like you're crazy. Game over. So, make sure. Now, women are hip to guys calling them honey, sweetie, baby, and all that shit. But here's the thing. If you never called her one of those little cuddly nicknames before, she may even ask you, what's my name? And I will tell you, this happened to me once in my younger years in life. I forgot the damn woman's name. My dick was inside the woman. I forgot her name. I'm glad she had a tattoo on her arm. She didn't. I'd have been all fucked up. I was reaching to where I was looking. I was trying to figure it out. And I looked on her damn arm and she had a damn tattoo. I said, oh, Maria. She's like, it took you a while to say my name, huh? I said, damn. I should have known better. She was Latina too. Shit. I should have known her name. Fucking around. But back then, I was dealing with a lot of women. But I was young and stupid at the time. But here's the thing. Also, she wants quality time with you when you're having sex. She don't want to fucking leave or fucking go. She don't want one of those. She wants to take time with you. She wants to lounge around naked with you. She wants to order food from DoorDash and shit like that. Grubhub. But as I told you before, fellas, it depends on the experience that she had. If she goes in that kitchen and she's making a meal from scratch for your ass, your new title is husband to be. Now, if she goes in there and fix you a sandwich and she's asking you what you want on it and everything, your permanent boyfriend. Now, if she just goes in there and just fixes a sandwich and brings you a soda and doesn't say anything, doesn't ask you anything, you're just another dude that she's been used to doing that with. You have served your purpose of getting her urge taken care of. Now, she's going to feed your ass and get you out the door. But if she's asking you questions, or she's firing up things brand new in the kitchen, going into the damn pantry and shit and getting shit out, and you're hearing it being cooked from scratch, oh, she's into you. Just telling you. And this means that she's going to start making plans. You know, like after she's had that good orgasm and she's laying there with you and she's cuddling, got a head on your chest and shit, She asks you a question like, do you love me? Fellas, don't ever say anything but yes on that. Even if you're lying. You say no on that, oh, yeah, you won't have a problem. But just go along with it. Now, the other thing, she's going to start talking about shit about the two of you are going to do in the future. When she tells you something like, I can't wait until. When you hear those words, I can't wait until. Yeah, she got a whole, your life is already mapped the fuck out. Just like we map freeways in this country, that's the way your life is for her. She's already got it mapped out. Now, it's not the sex that actually did it for her. That was part of it. It's the security that she feels she has with you and the confidentiality she has with you where she can share her feelings. See, there are a lot of women out there that they are dying to share not only their bodies, but their feelings, their emotions, their love. And what you're running into are a lot of these women who have never been able to do that, or they haven't been able to do it with the right person, and they're angry. You get past that anger, shit, you have a woman that will be so in love. But see, that's the thing. It's cracking that shell. Because see, they use that as a defense mechanism to intimidate men to keep them away. Because inside they know damn well if they found the right person, they know it would happen. And so they put that hard exterior core on them. You know, like people who become racist. Some of them weren't taught that. They just acquired that taste because of the fact that something might have happened to them that had traumatized them and put them in that mindset. But if they were to find someone that contradicted everything that they believed that was negative and it cared about them, it'd probably open up. But see, the problem is that then they go against that kindness being perceived as a weakness. And so they would rather suffocate their emotions than to actually enjoy life. And realize you don't have to go through the extreme measures. A lot of people do that. You get traumatized or hurt by somebody, disappointed by somebody, and then all of a sudden you become upset and you go to the extreme measure of saying, okay, no more of those folks. I'm not dealing with this. I'm not dealing with that. Some women say no more men. Other men say no more women. And they use that as protection because they don't want to get hurt. Years ago, there was a lady that I talked to. I talked about her before on the show. And she had a very, very, very difficult personality, to say the least. But I saw through it. She kept putting those guards up. Because, see, the thing was, she had been hurt in a past relationship. So therefore, she wasn't going to let that happen again. Because she looked at men as nothing more than people that were going to victimize her. You know, like people that have been robbed before, then, you know, they get tough on crime and they think that certain groups of people are just going to be criminals just because they're who they are. They don't use any kind of selective reasoning. Well, she was like that with men in general, especially black men, because it was a black guy that had hurt her in the past. And then she started opening up a bit, and I never forget the one night we went out to dinner, and she wanted to go to the Rocks out there by, it's in Marina Del Rey, and it's right there where you have these parking spaces, and there you could walk down on the walkway, and there are a whole bunch of rocks there, and you can sit on the rocks. And she wanted to just sit by the ocean and just watch the ocean hit the rocks, so we sat there. And she told me, she said, you got to promise me, if I have feelings for you and fall in love with you, that you won't tear me apart emotionally. She started telling me that she couldn't bear that happening to her again. And I agreed. We dated for about 6 months. She got a new job. I think it was out of Chicago, or it was Chicago or St. Louis, I can't remember. She got on that damn flight and her ass was gone. Didn't care how she left me. But she didn't want to get hurt. You run across that too. She called me later, thanked me, invited me to come out. I think it was Chicago where she was. I can't remember. I think it was Chicago. But she thanked me, asked me to come out and visit her. I went out one time, and I fucked around and went during the winter. They can keep Chicago midway. No, thank you. But the one thing that I realized was that, no shade on Chicago, I just can't do the damn snow. That shit makes me phobic. I realized after coming out there, she had changed. She had gone back to her old self again because she was in a new environment. And I realized I'd have to go through that whole process again with her to get her back where she was in California. I wasn't going to do it. You have some people that are like that. They feel as though sharing things with you emotionally is a weakness. Just like women feel as though some do, that masturbation would be a weakness, would be a disadvantage for some men. I make it a requirement. I look for a woman who masturbates. I prefer her. She knows her body better, much better. I've been with women who never did it, and it was a not so pleasant experience, to say the least. They were satisfied with a penis in them, but I didn't get any satisfaction. It was like I was fucking a dead fish. Because, don't forget, reciprocity is a very important word in relationships. Sometimes you don't get that from your partner. Now, the other thing too, with this, ladies, if you don't know how to introduce your devices to your loved one, take them to an adult bookstore or an adult store where you guys are perusing things so he wasn't feel as intimidated. Now, you might want to stay out of the back areas of many of those places because they might have those rooms with the curtains and the guys out there with a sweaty sock or something. You don't want to be around that shit. Because they used to have that stuff at Times Square in New York and over there on Hollywood Boulevard. If you ever watched the movie Armed and Dangerous, it was filmed inside of that. A scene was filmed inside of that particular adult store. Monica used to go there all the time with me. But what I'm saying is that would be a way of kind of cracking the veneer so that could be more of an open dialogue. When Katie May and I first started dating, she took me to a sex shop on one of our dates. I'm here getting ready to take her to dinner. It was bad enough we were driving around in a damn hearse, and I had a woman that looked like Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, all the time. Loved her to death, still do. And she says, let's go somewhere fun. So we went to the Hustler store first. And she said, nah, this is a little bit too sedate. Let's go down to Hollywood Boulevard. And we went into the place I just told you about, that little bookstore there. And she felt at home. And that's what she wanted to do for one of our dates. It was like a field trip. But you never know. Never know. But the thing is, when you guys have an open dialogue about sex and intimacy, it's very healthy for the relationship. As long as it's not the basis of your relationship. And this is what we're going to get into next.
According to NCBI, 20% of women have masturbated solo in the past month, with rates of over 40% for women between the ages of 20-29. 12% of women over 70 have masturbated in the past month. However, women are less likely to try masturbating than men. For example, 7.9% of women between the ages of 25-29 masturbate 2-3 times a week, compared to 23.4% of men.
Now, there's another form of masturbation that's used. Now, as my friend who was married did with her husband that evening, she taunted him. And there are some women that will do this, fellas. And it's deliberate, and it's not ever made for you to become intimate with them. Now, why would they do this? Attention. You look at some of these women on OnlyFans. Some of them will put on a mask. And this is what they'll do. They'll get their toys, play with themselves, and make thousands of dollars per month doing just that. One lady that I knew of that was on TikTok, she was bringing in 11 grand a month. Now, that money's going to be short-lived. It's not going to be something that's going to be sustainable. The reason being is that people are going to get tired of seeing you do all these things because you can only do so much. It's finite. And then after that, things start falling off. So she was talking about how she had to save up her money, but she was able to pay off a house and a car. So things worked to her advantage. Now, the thing that I'm going to tell you, though, is this. Fellas, that woman is teasing you, that teaser, that one that you've been trying to date, trying to get with, and you've been doing all this nice shit for them, buying them shit on their birthday, buying them shit on holidays, and they're not really giving you the time that you feel as though you deserve. They'll go out to dinner with you and do all these things, but when they do, it's always in a window of time where they don't really have any quality time to spend with you. The only time they have to spend with you is when they're benefiting from you, such as dinner, receiving a gift, attending their birthday parties, or something like that, buying them drinks, buying them girlfriends drinks. Fellas, you're being used. You'll never get to her. And she'll taunt and tease. She might even take your hands and put them in certain private areas. And then the minute you try to do something, she'll slap your hand. What she gets a thrill of is the control and the denial. She could deny you. And her denial of you and your advances is her control. And that's what she will use to manipulate you and to keep you chasing the carrot. I tell you, men, when you get with a teaser is the worst person you could ever encounter on a dating scene or any kind of relationship configuration. Take your dick and go home. Put your dick over your shoulder just like a rifle and sling it. If you got a long dick, put a wheelbarrow behind you so the head won't drag. And take your ass home. These women will use you. And you know, like you do a tube of toothpaste where you start rolling up the back end of it to try to make sure you get every ounce of that toothpaste out because it costs so damn much? That's what they do to you. The best way, because you'll never win them over. Let's get that straight. Because you're going to always be inadequate for them. And even when they start to be honest with you and serious with you, the answer is going to be no. But they're going to tell you no in a way that will still keep the benefits from you being around them coming. So, what I would say to you fellas, take your dick and go home. Take your dick and go home. Da 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 da. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. I'm telling you, do not allow yourself to get suckered into some of these manipulative situations that these women will present to you. Because she may masturbate in front of you. She may take her clothes off and just go and just have herself a ball. And every time you try to assist, see, her out is, oh, I can do this in front of you, but I'm not consenting to you participating. And so you wind up being a voyeur. And see, the sad thing about it, especially if she's an exhibitionist, she thrives off of voyeurs. So what you become is a fan in a relationship you're supposed to be in. You come out better going to a strip club where you know damn well you can't touch the women. Or going to a new dancing place. For that matter, you might as well go down to Tijuana to one of the bars down there. At least down there you can touch the women or whatever you want to do. I never forget, I went down to Tijuana one time, went into this bar. Saw this lady come in, she kissed her husband, he was a taxi driver. We could see him out the door kissing her before she went into the place. She comes in, she has on this damn trench coat and these stilettos. She walks in, takes off the trench coat, jumps up on the stage and starts dancing. She was butt naked, dancing titties and everything out. So we thought it was cool. And so afterwards, another woman came up, did the same thing. Well, they had this side stage where you had the chairs there, and we were sitting on the side stage, on this other stage that they had there. And this couple that was behind us, there was another table behind us with the woman sitting on one side and the man was sitting on the other. And the woman that had just come out from dancing off the dance floor was up there on that side stage. And she squatted down and she was talking to them in Spanish. And this man stuck his finger right up inside this woman. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, damn, I hope she douched. Or at least no tuna. But it was norm. It was the norm there. And my girl was like, I hope you're not going to do that. I said, no. I want my fingers to rot off. Who knows? But what I'm getting at is, you know, she's a teaser. She's already got a husband. We saw her kiss the guy, a boyfriend or whatever he was. But he was close enough to her where he kissed her. So what I'm getting at, fellas, you will have some women who will play like they're into you. But they're into what you could provide for them. Many of you have already run across this. But the key is not to keep trying so hard to win that woman over. Let her go. Let some other sucker be the one that really takes the fall for her. Not you. They will do all these things. I tell you about the woman that told me to come over to West Covina because she wanted a massage and she was sounding all sensual and sexy over the phone. I got something for you and all this other shit. And initially, yeah, it was going pretty good. I mean, she answered the door, goes into a bedroom, lays down on the bed. She just has a thong on, nothing else. Takes off a robe. And then pulls down a thong, lays on her stomach, and she wants me to massage her. She gives me the oil, and I go through the process. And she says, make sure I get everything. Make sure I just massage everything. I'm going on doing my business. And she tells me that, oh, you know, we're not going to have sex. That right there. Now, mind you, I had to drive all those miles to get there from Anaheim. Is she going to tell me some shit like that? I was living in Santa Monica at the time, not Anaheim. And I knew then I'd been bullshitted again. So I went and I told her, I said, you know, just think if I was a guy that had been in prison for 10, 20 years and never been with a woman in a while. And you did something like this. She thought it was cute at first. She didn't think it was cute when I got up and left. Are you that upset? From the way she talked over the phone about what we were going to do in the bedroom and all that shit. Until I got out there and wasted my gas, time, and eyesight and hand muscles on that. Wasn't worth it. Once you realize she's a tease, dude, leave. Because that's your power. You see, what she's drawing from you is the attention. You take that away, she ain't shit. She goes back to her regular state of being. You know, there's a friend of mine that used to be on Instagram. She's not on there anymore. I used to follow her. And boy, she had like hundreds of thousands of followers at one point because she was very provocative and wore a lot of provocative clothing. I'd known her for years. But she was one of these women that would come out that way. And then when she would get a boyfriend, she'd try to reel all that shit in and try to be a moralist. And this one guy she was with had enough, and he finally told her, he said, look, are you going to be a whore or a saint? I think that rubbed her the wrong way. Because what she wanted to do was draw the attention of men, but the one that she selected, she wanted him to be of the highest, most impeccable moral character. Well, eventually, people started realizing, she's full of shit because she's doing this one thing, but yet she's requiring another. And as word got around, people start not following her anymore. And then eventually she took her Instagram account down. And I called her one day. I said, hey, I was following you on Instagram. What happened? She's like, I don't want to talk about it. I've grown up. That was great to hear. So I knew her before Instagram and social media and the internet was even thought of. And she was a very humble, unassuming young lady. Very nice lady. Until she could get her little alter ego out there. And this has transformed a lot of people. You know, these people say, oh, I'm going viral. I can't believe I went viral. I don't know what the big to-do is about viral. Never understood it. I never wanted to go viral. Why? Because you got so many hits? Big deal. See, for this show, the message is far more important than I am. I ain't shit. It's the message. It's the things that help you in your life. To share it. That's all. To make you think. That's it. That's the only thing this show is designed to do. To help you think about situations you may face. Not here to indoctrinate you. Not here to convert your thinking. Not here for likes or follows. Because here's the thing. If I can help avoid one of you going through some of the pitfalls I had to go through over the years, that's satisfaction for me enough. The fame and all that shit, I was never pursuing it. I worked in radio and TV. If I wanted to pursue that, I could have done it. I had plenty of job offers in that field. But I wasn't willing to pay the price in some environments. I put it that way because there were some gatekeepers that you would have had to go through. I wasn't going to do it. You're seeing a lot of stuff that's revealed now that stayed in the shadows for many decades. And the very people that are speaking up now are many of the very people that benefited from some of the sickness and debauchery that took place back in the shadows. So, all of them are not innocent. Some of them were participants. And many of us chose not to participate in that side of that industry. Because we already saw what was going on. Didn't want to know all of the details either. What I can tell you is this. If you're at a point in life where you got to exploit your body, yourself, your dignity, and your reputation to become famous or wealthy, I want you to understand these words. You're a goddamn fool. You should never have to exploit yourself to become famous. You don't have to. One thing you have to do is be yourself. Focus on the craft that you really have a passion for. You'll be noticed for what you do. not for what you try to present. But see, there are a lot of people that really never explored their talents. And there are people out there that don't even know they have talent. And there are a lot of people out there who are the gatekeepers that have no talent, but they know how to manipulate. Those are the people you have to watch the most. Same thing goes true with these women that want to sell the sizzle and not the steak. They're not looking for a relationship. What they're looking for is an opportunity. Fellas, they come a dime a dozen. You don't have anything special on your arm with a woman like that. So, the other thing we have to look at, and how does all of this relate to masturbation, you're asking? Well, let me tell you something. That woman who's really looking for a good man, or that single mom who has made some poor life choices in the past, or has made some choices that didn't pan out so well, she may be afraid to go forward and take a chance again so readily. So instead of having a man around the house where she would have to explain to her kids who the hell is Joe Smucatelli and why he's in the house, she'll take care of her needs privately until she is in a position to find someone that's worthy. A lot of women do that. Because those toys, those machines, they only go so long. Yeah, some people have machines. That one lady on that stationary bike with the dildo on the seat. I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying what I saw. But one thing I am saying is that in any case, many of these folks, no matter how independent they talk about, no matter how much of a boss or whatever they are, many of them need someone. And you got that outer shell. And a lot of you ladies are actually hurting yourselves by telling a lie to yourself and to other people about how you don't need anybody and how independent you are. Okay, that's well and good. But you got to understand one thing. Only you give a fuck about that. Nobody else does. You better try to work on your happiness. Instead of punishing yourself because you had made a mistake in the past, maybe chose the wrong guy, maybe fell in love with the wrong person, who knows? But you can redeem yourself from mistakes by learning and correcting the problem. Not living with a goddamn mistake as if it's a noose around your neck for the rest of your life. And you're going to go and punish yourself by denying yourself certain things, a decent relationship probably in the future, meeting someone different. But you're going to give yourself a life sentence of unhappiness, sadness, loneliness, voluntarily, because of one motherfucker that was in your life that's more than likely out of it, that still has a lasting impression on keeping you in the same mindset you were in when you were in that relationship. Nobody deserves that much power. But the only way they get power is by you yielding it to them. Once you've taken the power away, they're nothing. You look at all these celebrities, all these famous people. If the fans go away, what happens? Their career dies. Because the people that were feeding off of those celebrities, they can't make any money anymore. The producers, directors, and the people on the camera crews and everything, they can't make any more money. We are the people that create these human gods. They're not ordained. We got people telling us who has talent and who doesn't. And many of them don't have a talent whatsoever. It'd be interesting to see how many people on some of these voting boards, as far as what we consider good movies, excellent songs, and those kind of things, it'd be interesting to see how many of them have produced and written a movie, acted in a movie. A lot of those seats that you see for these different award shows, you know, many of those seats have been put into wills for relatives to assume that never worked in the industry. So they're dictating what you actually see, what they say is good. You remember the Nielsen ratings? The ratings dictated what you saw on television. I think they had to have a 20 share in order to be considered safe. That's the difference. This show, I could only have one listener on this show. The same thing I'm doing now for this vast audience, I do for that one listener. Why so? They deserve it. When you are dealing with larger conglomerates, you got to go with what the crowd says. That lady left a message on my show yesterday, and I processed it for air today. That one woman impacted this whole show based on a concern she had about her man walking out on her because she had a dildo. You're not going to find Hollywood or anybody else that's going to do anything like that. You're not going to find someone that's going to acknowledge you in that way. It would be kind of nice if people could make suggestions on some of these sitcoms about scenarios. What could work and what doesn't work. But what do they have? They have a team of writers that come in and say, okay, this is the way it's going to go. Maybe they should get some feedback from the audience about certain characters. They might come across something rather interesting. See, the one thing about art and entertainment is this. It's a reflection of who we are. Because a lot of times when you write in about certain things, or you leave messages about certain things I never heard about before, and I have to research and look it up, you're educating me and the audience, opening our eyes. And I appreciate that, because that's what it takes. Us learning together, growing together. You notice, and I think I mentioned this before, it seemed like we were at peace in different parts of the country, we had that solar eclipse. And I said, it would be nice if we could do that on a sustained basis without a celestial body that we all have no control over dictate our behavior. We watched something take place that we had no control over, that didn't put us in a crisis mode, such as an earthquake or a volcano erupting. But what we could be at peace and just look at nature takes its course. Because the one thing we have to realize, it made us realize that we don't understand shit about our existence. We just exist in the now, in what we're exposed to, what we've learned and what we know. We came into this world that was already in progress, just like coming into a movie while it's 30 minutes in. And we're trying to catch up by studying some of the things of the past in order to propel us forward. But there are things that we still have yet to learn, no matter how old you are. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm in my 60s or 50s or 70s, and there's not much more I can learn. Oh, yes, it is. This classroom of life is a perpetual learning environment. You will never get a master's degree in it. You will never master it. I know we want to have some form of accomplishments, but you look at this, you look at these milestones that we've established, they're all man-made. It makes us feel good. Many of you should feel good in your relationships. Pleasing your partner. Having your partner please you. Seeking the best form of happiness you can with your partner. Finding someone to share life with and not go it alone. On a cold and desolate road. You know, one lady told me something in my mom's nursing home that really made me think. She was in her 90s. She was, I think, 97 or 98 years old. And she said that for the first time in her life, Since she had been in that nursing home, she felt alone. Her husband had died several years prior, and she said that was her biggest fear of being alone. She married a husband when she was, 15 or 16, very young. Stayed with him God knows how many years. Only man she ever been with. And she said what she didn't want to do was wind up like some of the other women that used to be her peers that had long passed, who were alone while they were alive, and they're definitely going to be alone in their graves. And she said, well, what was the use of living in the first place if you're going to be by yourself? Something to think about. Something to think about. So, in closing, folks, as this F-22 Raptor flies overhead, because I think we had a B-1 or B-2 bomber that took off the other night. That thing was, like, ridiculously loud. I think it was a B-2 or something. It was a big jet, whatever it was. But anyway, folks, closing out. Masturbation is nothing not to be intimidated by, men, fellas. Don't be intimidated by a woman's masturbatory actions. Allow her to incorporate you into those functions. Ladies, don't be embarrassed by it. Bring him in and show him what works for you. And ask him what will work for him as well. And then you guys will get a rhythm. And then eventually your confidence will build. And you'll have the momentum. And then what happens, it will get to a point that nobody else can do what that other person does for you. Because they know how you work, how you tick. Take your time with your partner. Get to know them. Guys, stay away from teasers. Stay away from the bullshitters. Save yourselves. And ladies, keep up the positive reinforcement. A lot of men need it. Take care. Love you all. Share the link. Talk to you tomorrow.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen 1 Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with 2 Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.